I'm on a mission to help high flyers just like yourself, who until now have let the fear of public speaking hold them back from making a bigger impact. Join me as I find out the secret sauce from the world's leading speakers to make your speeches more interesting, enjoyable to give, and impactful for your audience. That's the mission, and this podcast will get you there. My name's Victor Ahipeni, and this is the Public Speaking Secrets Podcast.
Speaker Nation, what's happening? Welcome to another episode of Public Speaking Secrets. I'm your host, Victor Ahipeni. Super excited to be back in the flow of putting out this great content for you. And we've got an amazing guest today, another New Zealander that you're going to have to try and decipher our accents if you're not from the land down under. We're going to tap into some of the things that, yeah, a lot of you out there, when you think of public speaking, you don't necessarily think of the online space. And Matt, who is our guest today, has really been able to fine tune a certain aspect of the online space, and that's that video creation. And I know, you know, particularly in the world that we're living in now, that more and more of the way that we present and reach out to our audience is going to be in that space. So we've got Matt Earle on today. He is a content creator, but he also helps other videographers be able to craft creative stories and help them generate business. And he titles himself the creative entrepreneur, but having watched some of his things, I can definitely agree with that. So with all that being said, welcome to the show, mate.
Hey, mate. Thanks for having me. Excited.
Take us back for a bit of backstory. How did you get into the video game?
Yeah, well, I think I've got a similar story to you in the fact that I went to Otago University just because it was the thing to do. Yeah. I did a degree, and then I did a master's degree, and I was working in resource management. But I've always loved comedy, and basically my obsession grew so much that I ended up quitting my job and pursuing a career in video creation, and that was about 11 years ago.
And you're obviously like, were you making videos prior to that? Were you like, I might quit and then learn how to make videos? Or had you put out some stuff, people were like, oh, this is pretty funny? Because like 11 years ago, I mean, it seems like ages ago. It's like 2009, you know, New Zealand's internet was still battling a bit there, but YouTube was around, social media was around. Was it something that you'd like, oh, I can, did you pick the trend? Are you trying to make yourself sound intelligent, or did you just happen to fall into video being this massive medium that we use now?
That's a good question. I've got a distinct memory of sitting at my desk in my office, and I was reading a script, the Dumb and Dumber script, which is my favorite movie. And I thought, you know what, I just have to follow my passion. I had no idea how it would run, you know, how it would turn out. Yeah, and as you said, back then, I think YouTube was just starting out, but basically I quit my job. I went deep into the Marlborough Sounds, which is a very remote place in New Zealand where we have a family batch. You can only get there by boat. And I spent a month making my own Castaway style film where the final scene has me washed up on the beach, and I've got I make a hat out of a dead stingray. So that was kind of the start of it. So I didn't know what type of videos I wanted to create. I was aware that it was a powerful medium in terms of for businesses, but back then, yeah, it really was underutilized. And basically from that point onwards, I've made all types of content, from long form television shows. I've worked on reality TV like The Bachelor and The Block and those types of things, but I've also produced all types of small business videos like chiropractors and restaurants. So pretty much done every type of video you can imagine except pornography.
Yeah. Well, there's, you know, you got to have your bucket list and set your goals. So with that though, so you said you worked on the reality TV side of things. So I want to delve into that for a second, because there's a lot of, I think, really good lessons in regards to capturing attention that reality TV shows are really, really good at. How did you, was that like, did you go searching for a job, or were you contracting for those reality TV shows, or what was the story there?
Yeah, so basically I had a bit of experience in corporate video, but I wanted to get into creating my own content, just following my love of comedy. So I got a job as an editor, and my first job was editing The Bachelor, and it was the very first season that New Zealand did of the show. And yeah, that was a very eye-opening experience, because I had no idea how they put those types of stories together, which is a lot different to your standard business videos.
Mm. And what were the things that you kind of learned? Because I see them using, I don't know if they call it in the video world, but I'm sure they do, like open loops and closed loops, like, you know, things like, oh, after the break or coming up next, or, you know, that teaser at the start or in the ads and things to, you know, hook that hook to be able to keep people's attention drawn into what is otherwise pretty trashy TV.
Absolutely. So I think there's two types of hooks. So there's a hook in general, which is the premise of the show. So if we look at something like Married at First Sight, the hook for that show is it's two strangers getting married, which is kind of the talking point, which makes people watch. But there's also the type of hook, which I think you're referring to, which is, you know, at the start of every episode, they'll give you a little tease of what's coming up, just to make sure that you keep watching, and they'll do that at the end of every act as well, you know, before the commercial break, just to make sure that you come back. So yeah, they hooks is a very powerful strategy that they use.
Because, I mean, I look at it from, I use it in presentations. You can use it, particularly things like webinars and sales presentations and workshops to keep people engaged. Like, you might tease out something that you're going to talk about, and then literally in that same sentence you're saying, you know, we're going to talk about that more in depth shortly or later on today. And it keeps people going, oh, okay, I need to. And, you know, we call it in speaking, open loops and closed loops, and that your brain, if a loop's opened, so it's like, you know, RBT or Police 10-7 when they're like doing the breathalyzer, and it flashes, then it cuts to an ad break, and that ad like that's created like an open loop that your brain needs to shut, and you're like, I need to stay and find out what is the, you know, did this person blow over or, you know, test positive or whatever. And yeah, it's a really helpful strategy. Yeah, and I'm sure it is in the business type videos as well, to be able to keep people's short attention spans hooked.
Absolutely. And I think as we all know in this day and age, that it's attention spans are so incredibly short. So having a powerful hook at the start of any type of video is vital.
And so we'll delve into the, you know, some of the structures that you use, but I want to touch on, because you obviously went from editing reality TV to a couple of your documentaries that you put out, which I've watched, the Blade NZ, which I highly recommend people go and check out, because it's hilarious. Was that like the next transition? Like, I need to try and do something myself. Like, run us through it. Like, that is, A, if you can let the audience in on what it is, because it's ridiculous. And then B, how did that ridiculous thing turn into an idea that then actually, like, you know, grew into something pretty amazing?
So I've got a business partner, Josh, who's sort of my creative partner. And we were traveling Southeast Asia a few years ago. And we've always wanted to make... He's very similar to me in terms of sense of humor and loves creating content, loves having a laugh. We made our own little travel show in Southeast Asia. And towards the end, we saw this pair of rollerblades and we thought, oh my God, imagine if we rollerbladed across Vietnam. and so we were like, oh, imagine the show called Blade Vietnam. And long story short, we tried to get into Vietnam, but we hadn't organized the visa, so we couldn't even get into the country. So then we turned to our own country and we thought, we need to make a travel show, but we want to make it different. So we came up with the idea of Blade NZ, which was where we would try to rollerblade the length of New Zealand from top to bottom. And it was a crazy journey. And that was actually a really pivotal moment for us, because it was, we ended up we were terrible at rollerblading, which is quite a vital piece.
Yeah, that's the hook, everyone. If you're wondering, like, these aren't a couple of like professional rollerbladers or ex-ice skaters. Like, these 4 meters looked like a personal best on the rollerblades before one of you fell over.
Yeah, so we started rollerblading and we realized we were terrible and we hadn't had much experience in terms of storytelling and producing content. But we soon found out that the stories that were the most interesting to us were the people that we were meeting. So, for example, we soon started hitchhiking because we were obviously it's a long way to rollerblade, and when you can't actually rollerblade, we had to look at other options. So on our very first night on the rollerblades, when we gave up, we started hitchhiking and we ended up getting picked up by this very crazy eccentric possum trapper who had absolutely no money, but he took us into his house and he let us stay the night, and we went and set the possum traps with him. And as we got to know him, he just had this incredible story, and he had been in jail for 8 years for smashing someone up with a hammer, and he was an ex-drug addict. It was quite a heavy story, but he had this great sense of humor, and we captured it all on camera. And that was kind of the first kind of, we had one of those moments when we were like, whoa, this is the type of stories that are the most interesting, the stories that are actually about real humans and real struggle. And that was basically the start of what Josh and I did after that in terms of our storytelling from that point.
Yeah, it's a pretty good magnet to, like, just rollerbladers in general. Like, it kind of it attracts people who have got some pretty unique stories. But with that, and I mean, this is the other aspect when it comes to, I guess, creating these videos. Doesn't matter if it's you, me, or anyone else creating these videos, is we've got to have these different channels of syndication to get out to it. And so, I mean, you created this documentary I'm hazarding a guess, like, no real idea what you were going to do with it or how to get it out to the market.
Yeah, so it was a bit of a leap of faith, and that's kind of how my video career started. That's how my career started in many ways. So yeah, we didn't know what we were going to do with it. We made a trailer for it, and that went viral around New Zealand, which isn't difficult, but it made it on The Crowd Goes Wild, which is a sports show, and national radio, and a few other things. And then we ended up getting some funding from TVNZ, and we put it together into a digital series, which was about 10 episodes of about 10 minutes. And then, amazingly, I was like, man, people overseas would love this, but how do we get it to them? And we didn't want to go the whole YouTube channel thing because we didn't have any subscribers and we weren't vloggers. We figured, you know, this is a slightly different type of story. So long story short, I went on LinkedIn and I managed to get hold of someone at the Travel Channel, and we ended up selling the show to them. We had to re-edit it for TV, and it went all around the world in over 100 countries and in 22 languages.
That's amazing. And from... Yeah, I mean, that's what's I think so cool about, I guess, your story to get to where you are, is a lot of it's been not being caged in, and yeah, this isn't like an anti-society type thing, but you it wasn't like you went to university and you're like, I'm going to do videography or I'm going to study film or anything like that. It was like, oh, I've got to figure this out on the go. And then you had that aha moment and just understood that, facts tell and stories sell. What was the transition or the learnings from getting stories out of people and putting together effective stories? Because, I mean, it's not always you guys you know, talking to other people. A lot of the time it's, you know, you've done your House Boys of Waiheke, which is like a, for those out there, it's we'll link it in the show notes, but it's a kind of a mockumentary, isn't it, of like the housewives type shows. And yeah, there's a lot of creativity through there. But when do you have like a framework that you look at, you're like, hey, here's how we can get an effective message across? And I think your biggest asset is definitely the humor that you can, that you bring in with everything that I've seen of yours. So have you got any frameworks that you go through with that?
It's a good question. I think for us, humor is extremely vital, and we just play to our natural strengths, and there's no way we could tell a serious story even if we wanted to. so we've tried. But that being said, we pick topics, you know, we like interesting, quirky stories and interesting characters. And sometimes those characters have had difficult lives, and that's where a lot of the good juicy content comes out. But I mean, with humor, you have to be quite careful that you're not mocking them. So I think another one of our strengths is telling stories with a bit of heart. And in terms of a framework, we always try to capture genuine content that is really natural and off the cuff. So we would always put story before production value, which a lot of people wouldn't do.
I think that's a huge lesson for everybody as well, is, you know, you'll get people who go into the studio to produce a video sales letter or something, you know, for their website, and they're worried about perfect, and it takes forever to get perfect out, or perfect never gets out. Whereas I think when you're saying good is good enough, but you're looking at, you know, the I don't know, the buzzwords at the moment, you know, the authenticity and the rawness of a lot of these different things, they really shine through. And I'm sure it helps you attract the right people, or better people as well, to work with when it's the type of story that you put together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's part of it, because if you try to make something for everyone, then you're just going to make something that's awfully bland, and it's no one's going to watch it. So I'm all about going for that kind of cult angle and making something that you yourself would actually like to watch.
And when it comes to, say, like the me, or, you know, any of our listeners who are kind of just putting together, because I saw a video you put out for a call out for looking for a couple of students to finish the year for the stuff that you do to help, you know, videographers and content creators. And it was an awesome, you know, raw type of video. Yeah, it was just funny. You were, you know, for everyone out there, I'll do a poor job at describing it, but yeah, you're basically in front of some fancy cars, and then you start talking, do you want me to show you how to make $1 million? And then you go, oh my God, these aren't even my cars, and then sprint off down the road. And then it kind of cuts to something else, and you're just in the car with your dog, and then it cuts to something else. And along those lines, it's I think that highlights that. And but for, you know, are there things that you look at, if you're, say, for, like, what was your thought process when you were creating that video, for example?
I think in today's world, as you kind of said, authenticity is a hot, and everyone's talking about it right now. But, you know, everyone is doing the same thing, and you just have to do what's natural to you, what you enjoy. And I feel that everyone has that, but a lot of people are too worried about what people will think, and they'll spend too much time pondering it, and they'll never actually do it. So I love making content, and I thought that was funny, and I knew that the fastest way I could do it was by filming on my phone. It was raining, the audio is kind of crap, but I thought, you know what, if I can get this done by the end of the day, it's yeah. I stayed up late editing it. It made me laugh, so I was happy.
And I mean, it was very like the mocking Tai Lopez without you actually having to know who Ty Lopez is, or these young bucks who are hiring, time on a fake plane or in a car type thing, and then it kind of flips the switch. So I thought it was funny. It was funny, but like it got me thinking, because I'm about to create a kind of similar vein video, but I was like, my whole push at the moment is this new economy that we're in. Like I call it the Zoom economy, where we're doing things, but I'm going to have like the video. I was like, how can I make this funnier? Because humor is probably something that is one of my best traits, to try and call myself funny, I guess. But I was like, I could be explaining the theory that I'm actually explaining, and then just pan to a shot with, or like have a shot side on, and I'm in the Zoom economy at home with just boxer shorts on and a shirt on top, because it's kind of what everyone is doing nowadays. They've got the dress shirt up the top, and they've got their slippers on down the bottom or whatever like that. So and it's I was talking to a friend yesterday. She's putting out kind of her first ads for her business, and I was just giving her some kind of advice. And I think the big thing to think about, and this is what you're with your video, not looking professional, just looking like it's been recorded off your phone, because it has, is you can scroll through. If that's an ad on Facebook, I could scroll through and it'd stop me because I wouldn't think it's an ad. And so I see a lot of people kind of making those highly professional ones, and then they're not capturing people's attention. It's just that stale person in front of a video, which I've been guilty of.
100%, and I've been guilty of it too, but you hit the nail on the head. There's social platforms, and people aren't going on there to watch ads. They're going on there to see what their friends are up to and all of that. So you really have to sort of disguise your ads and, make them entertaining and make them fun, because then people will actually watch them.
Mm. And when it comes to, so you help people and companies with like short form branded stories, and I mean, you've worked with a lot of really cool companies throughout New Zealand, like Trade Me, which is kind of the eBay for the place that no one in the world wants to send to. So it's New Zealand's version of eBay or Amazon, and places like TikTok. I saw you in New Zealand Police video. Like I this is a thing I like enjoy when you post videos, because I'm like, this will be funny. One day it won't, and I'll tell you. But in the interim, it's like if you become a content creator, and it doesn't matter what it is, that you're continually putting out the right things, then people are actually looking forward to your content. It's not it's not going to be a drain or a bane on their a David Bain on their on their life. But when it we've got a little personal joke, everyone, of a New Zealand celebrity David Bain, but with short-formed branded stories. So if there's going to be some people out there listening who have got their own companies, or they're looking to build their own companies, and what should they be looking at if they're going to start putting together a branded story to kind of tell that story of how their business came about, or what they do, or things like that?
I think, I've obviously got a preference for humour, but I think telling the genuine and authentic side of businesses is very important. And I would look at what everyone's competitors are doing and do the opposite, because otherwise you're just going to look exactly like everyone else. And funnily enough, I tried to do more corporate style videos. I tried to kind of blend in. But the most interesting thing for me was the highest paying jobs I got and the most successful videos I created for other businesses were the ones that had humor and were more relatable and just generally enjoyable and less salesy. So make content that people actually want to watch and engage with.
Yeah, because I mean, that's the big thing. Like, we're in this, just to use another 2020 cliche word, but we're in this like unprecedented time. But I'm not just talking about this year. I'm like the last 10 years, where previously to even have the equipment to put together one of these videos would be a lot. But then to be able to even get it in front of anyone was impossible for the majority of small business owners. You didn't have the likes of Facebook and Instagram and YouTube ads and all these other TikTok and these different platforms where you can create a video and then target it to the right people and then get it in front of these people. And you don't need, if you're a local business or even if you're an online business, you don't need a million followers or a million customers. Most businesses can't even handle that. So to be able to utilize video and these platforms, they put it high. Like, the more LinkedIn's even got stories now, and if you start scrolling your timeline, you're just seeing it's a written post is hard to find these days because they're pushing pictures and videos on all of these platforms at the moment.
Definitely, and it's scary as well. It's scary for business owners who haven't used video in the past to do things like Facebook Live and make their own content or be on screen. But I just think it's so vital, and it's actually enjoyable once you get into it.
Mm. And then once you get those people liking it as well. Obviously, it's similar to the fear of public speaking. I find even confident public speakers shirk away initially from videos. But any tips in regards to either those people getting more comfortable behind the camera, or even those like pre-recorded, if they're putting together like a branded story or a video of some sort, is there any ways that you use with clients that you've worked with to be able to get them more comfortable sharing their story, like, and just kind of ignoring that camera?
Yeah, definitely not scripted.
Yeah,
as I'm sure you've dealt with in the past. If you're trying to, it just ends up like a bad episode of Home and Away or Shortland Street. So
is there a good episode of them?
Good point. But yeah, I think keep it simple. So one message per video, because people have a lot of, they have to get this in, they have to get that in. But just make it simple with one message, which is important per video. And speak to the camera just as if it's your best friend or your mum.
It's awesome. Those are awesome tips. And to just kind of round off at the moment, so you've been working with your business partner, and you've been doing these videos, and then recently you've kind of been helping videographers. How did that process come along, and what's been the story, or what are you helping them with?
So I think it's obviously, as I mentioned earlier, it's taken me 11 years to get to where I am, which for someone else to do is quite, it's been a wild journey. I wouldn't change a thing now, but there are a lot of mistakes that I've made. And along the way from working with other videographers, a lot of them can tell these awesome stories and they're super talented behind the camera, but they just don't have any idea when it comes to working with clients or what they should be doing with the video when it's actually finished. So what I do is I teach them where they should put the video and how they can market themselves. So instead of just handing over a video to a client, they actually help them distribute the video so that it's seen by a target audience, and it drives results, and then everyone's happy. And that's essentially what I've been doing for the past year or so.
Nice. And I think that's the big thing is, like, A, they've been the best kept secret. Yeah, a lot of these people, you see it in every industry, the people who are phenomenal at what they do but horrible at marketing it or charging what their actual value is, and undervaluing themselves, which I'm sure is the problem a lot of these encounter as well. But then it's particularly in the videography world I've helped people with podcasts and things in the past, and it's all right, cool, I've got this awesome video, how come there's not a million customers at my door now? It's like I posted it on Facebook, why is it not just coming and flooding in? So I think having that stopgap of, like, people have come to you not for a video, they've come to you for a solution, which is whatever that solution is, more customers, more awareness, new products, whatever, help them actually solve that problem, I guess, with their video plus their yeah, the distribution or the advertisement of that, which I think is going to set them apart. Again, do what everyone else isn't doing and find that.
100%. And just one other thing about the distribution is that if you can get your video seen, you know, the feedback loop is much faster and it actually helps you improve too. So it's good for just those creatives, for people to actually see the stuff that they're making.
Mm. And so when it comes to these, like the last thing that I want to get, because I want everybody out there to just, hopefully we've kind of highlighted that there's a huge movement towards video for being able to grow your brand and get your story out there. I mean, there's multiple different platforms, but you know, the big social ones are really pushing video. In regards to, like, we've got a phone, okay, so tick, we've got a camera, which is better than probably what you started out with 11 years ago for quality and recording ability. When it comes to like an audio side of things, like a lapel mic or something like that, and if it was lighting and editing software or things like that, what are your, like, here's a few things that you can use just to be able to get yourself started quickly?
Yeah, my first piece of advice in regards to that is don't overthink it. And the best camera that you have is the one that you have access to. So I don't even own a fancy camera. So when I create content, I just use contractors. But when I'm making my own content, I just use my phone. So worry more about the story and the message and who it's actually for than any of the fancy equipment, because that will come naturally as your storytelling evolves. And you might not even need it. There are many successful business owners who just use Facebook Live, telling little stories about their business, what they've been up to, how they can help customers, and nothing else. So definitely don't overthink it.
Awesome. Well, that was the answer that I was hoping for, because a lot of overwhelm leads to inaction. And so you've got a phone in your pocket, use it, run with it. Get something out there. If it sucks, here's the good thing. A lot of people think that they're going to get bad publicity if something sucks. As long as it's not like racist or massively politically incorrect, there's probably not going to be too much kickback. And it's just like a presentation or a podcast. If it sucks, no one's going to listen to it or see it anyway, so it doesn't even matter. All you can do is just put it out there, and then, like you say, that feedback loop, learn from it, and then improve and improve and improve, and over time you'll get a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, I think that no one cares about you or me or anyone but themselves. So at the end of the day, it does not matter.
That's awesome. So I appreciate the insight that you've given a lot of people. If people want to find out a bit more about you, what you've been doing, we're going to link a couple of those docos that we spoke about in the show notes at publicspeakingblueprint.com. But if people want to connect with you, find out more about you, or if they're videographers and they want to find out about learning the tricks of the trade, where can they go and what can they do?
My website is matterle.co, which is Matt, then EARLE.co. And then the best way to get in contact and have a chat is probably just Instagram, which is @MerleNZ, which is MEARLENZ.
Awesome. So we'll link all of that in the show notes at publicspeakingblueprint.com. Mate, we've been lining this up for a while, and I'm super glad we got onto it and got a chat, because there's a ton of value in there for a lot of people looking to use video and get their story out there. So I appreciate your time and look forward to one day being able to be in the same country again together and actually catch up.
Cool, man. I really enjoyed it.
If you want to fast-track your confidence and impact with public speaking, then be sure to jump over to publicspeakingblueprint.com, where there's an array of free resources to help you no matter where you are on your journey to becoming a more powerful speaker. And while you're at it, jump over to Facebook and join our free community called Speaker Nation, where there's a ton of other like-minded individuals just like yourself looking to level up. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode.